The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hurry up, Kim. We're waiting on you.
You never let me get ready.
We would have started 10 minutes ago if you'd been ready. Why are we always waiting on Kim?
Because
I'm not ready either.
Can you hear yourself okay?
Yeah.
I can't remember which one of those.
I can hear me just fine. Can you hear you? Can you hear me? Can Josh?
Yeah, I hear you.
Josh hears me.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Hello.
I can hear everyone.
Hello.
I want this to come down.
Now it's going to take her an hour to figure out how to get her thing right.
Hey, once I get it right, then it'll be good. I won't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, you say that now. We're always waiting on you, Kim.
Shut up.
You notice that.
Get it right. Get it right. Get it tight. Get it right.
You didn't bring the thing for your foot yet.
She got a little box.
Did I got
she?
A box.
You brought a little stool?
No, it's an electrical box.
The cord cover box.
The cord cover box.
That sounds so redneck.
Dangerous.
But look, doesn't it works perfect.
Redneck would be an egg crate.
Plug it in.
Yeah, it works perfect.
How lovely. We're recording in our new bunker.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
No, I have to take my boxes off so I can see you guys.
Hi, Kim.
Hi.
You can see us, but our listeners can't see us yet.
I'm so happy that I get to see you guys. I'm happy to record again because I've really missed it.
Feels like
I
it's
have
been
stories.
So long.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm so we've excited.
Gone to, we've been to Texas and back. Mm-hmm. We've been to lots of states. We drove all over the country.
Yep.
We're in a new recording space, and we're trying something new on this episode.
Yeah.
We got lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about. Lots. Yeah.
One of them tiles fell behind you. It's bothered me. I'm like, I can't even hear you guys right now. It's cockeyed.
That's hilarious.
Oh, I see it now.
That's hilarious. Of course, our friend who is listening will not be able to see what we're talking about because we have not set up our recording. We got all of our recording equipment set up.
We haven't done video yet.
But we've not set up the equipment to do our video. So this is audio only, which is fine with me because I am not a huge fan of video. I thrive on audio. I don't know about you guys.
I'm happy with the audio, but I know there are people that likes the video too.
I like the video.
Thin people like the video. Thin people
I brought
like
my makeup
the
bag today to keep in my little locker.
Oh, how cute.
I get to watch you sit and put your makeup on.
It's just I call it my man makeup. This little concealer.
Kim, are you going to take a locker too? You should
have
a locker.
Yes, I have one.
You guys are just claiming spaces.
Hell yeah.
I need somewhere to keep all my snacks. They'll melt the car.
That's true.
That's hilarious.
I need to bring me some snacks.
My blood sugar drops. Oh, heavens.
My blood sugar drops.
Mine did the other day. I waited too long to eat lunch.
Did you pass out?
No, but I was getting pretty close. I'm like, give me a cookie. Where's a cookie?
Under me.
I get that way too, but I don't have blood sugar problems. I just get hangry sometimes, especially like if I'm at a restaurant and my friends already wanted to wait last minute.
Oh, yeah.
Let's meet at 7 o'clock for dinner. Great. Let's do that. That sounds wonderful. Then service is pretty slow.
Well, I was working. I think I was editing and I looked at the clock and I thought, oh, crap, it's 2 o'clock. I need to go to the post office. I got all those shirts to send.
Right.
So I'm like rushing around trying to get dressed so I can go over to the post office. And I'm like, uh-oh, I need a cookie. I was just going to grab me some lunch while I was in Parker.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't make it. I had to end up eating a couple cookies to get my sugar back up before I could go to Parker.
Now, Kim did send all the shirts out so far.
All but one.
All but the backwater shirts. Now, the true test is going to be if any of them end up at your daughter's house. That's going to be the
I can tell you they're
test.
Not because I didn't use any
Are
boxes.
Are you sure?
Yes, I used all bags.
And you're sure you know
new
the
bags.
Address is right.
Exactly, new bags. They've never been used before, so they won't accidentally have somebody else's address
she
on it.
She got that expensive money. You know what our Norwegian friend would say?
What?
Our Norwegian friend calls that stick of money.
Stick of money. Yeah. Stick of money.
Have we told you that, Josh?
No.
The stick of money? So the first time I picked up Maya from Norway, I was at the airport in Indianapolis. She gets in my car and we start driving away. And the car in front of us, it was just a normal car. It had a temporary license plate thing on the back. And you know how the temporary license plate, they just put those suckers anywhere, like in the back window, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a piece of paper. That thing will fly off. Yep. Like, it's just a piece of junk. Well, Maya looked at it and she's like, that's not legal. I can't believe they're driving with that. And I was like, yeah, it is. I was like, they don't last very long.
Like a month.
Yeah, 30 yeah. days.
And she's like, in Norway, it's a sticker. Like it sticks to the car.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
It's real
sense.
Nice and it's sticky. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that does sound really nice. It sounds smart, but it sounds like it's more expensive.
Right.
We don't have the sticker money. Indiana does not have that sticker money.
I knew it was always a thing, but I don't think I ever knew the background before it. No.
The backstory.
Yeah, I always keep mine in the back window. I don't trust a paper plate to not rip and blow off.
Or someone to steal it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Someone just pull it right off of the screws.
It's for shits and giggles.
I know.
I'm not real sure that they're still paper.
Yeah, it's like a laminate type of paper, I think. So
it's stronger
it can get wet.
Now.
Yeah.
It's like a Tyvek paper.
Yeah.
In like a little plastic thing. Here you go. Best of luck.
Yeah, it used to just be in a little plastic baggy little thing. Yeah. How freaking funny. They would just like print it out.
I used to work at a printing place, a place that would print labels and stuff. And we printed all kinds of labels. So, you know, the little bracelet things that you get at like fairs and that type of stuff that you can't break to pull them off.
Even when you need to, you have to cut it off.
Yeah. It's called Tyvek.
Oh.
That's the material it's made out of.
Many times I've almost broke my wrist because I've not known where the scissors are.
Cut it. Oh my.
Yeah.
You pull it enough. It's Jesus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Try to break your stinking teeth, trying to rip that sucker off.
And you get your hair caught in it when you're trying to stick it together with the two sticky parts that get your hair, and then you're pulling your hair. And
One of my pet peeves is when people, they'll go to like concerts and stuff and they'll leave them on till they fall off. It'll be weeks old and they're like, they'll have multiple ones on the wrist. I'm like, gross.
I can't even keep my watch on for very long.
No.
It just doesn't feel very good for me.
I can't sleep with my wrist.
I can't even sleep with the rings
on. Emily bought me this. I can't remember if it was for Mother's Day or Christmas. It's just a little plain bangle bracelet.
Yeah.
It has something on the inside of it. I think it says...
UFO?
No, that is not it. That is not it. Hang on.
Lovely daughter.
Let me put my glasses on. I can tell you.
Let me get my glasses. Josh, one of the things I learned on our trip in Texas is Kim really does need stinking trifocals.
She does.
Yes. We were in the car and she was going between two different pairs of glasses.
One on the eyes, one on the
head. Yeah, one of her glasses has bifocals. Mm-hmm. She's like, hold on, let me get my glasses. Let me get my other glasses.
I gotta get
she wears
glasses.
Them both at once. That'll be what she needs.
Yeah. And we got her sunglasses that she would keep over her glasses. So she literally had three pairs of these glasses that she was keeping on her head.
I don't know why I have a headache.
My bracelet on the outside of it says mom, and on the inside of it, it says everything I am, you helped me to be.
Oh,
so this bracelet I wear all the time. I never take it off.
You
very
helped
rarely.
Her be a B word. This is what she is. 99%.
Like mother, like daughter.
Boy, she could be one. She's a lovely person, but boy.
And guess who's going to be moving in with me?
I know.
Yep, the house deal next door. Fell through. So they're going to be moving in with me for a while until they can get jobs and figure out how much money they can afford and that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, they're going to be moving back from Chicago because, of course, they're on the military base, the Air Force mm-hmm. base or whatever up there.
On the way back
Navy base.
Lunch.
Navy base. I know. Yeah. I'm running down the One list.
A branch of service. Yeah,
it's like our grandma running through the list of children Names. And then pets mm-hmm. before she got to Shane and Josh.
Yeah, you know, on the way back from lunch, we were talking about how the biggest change is going to be sharing one bathroom with a man.
Really suck.
A heterosexual man. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody.
It never, ever fails. So my mom, I was talking to my mom on the phone the other day, and she's like, I have the perfect thing for you to do when they move in. And I'm like, oh, what's that? You know, well, back in my laundry room, there's like a little hallway that's got closets on either side of it, right? She says, you need to put your curtain up there and get you one of those little camping porta potties for an emergencies, right? So I told her, I said, that's really not a bad idea because it never fails. Anytime somebody goes in there, I got to go. And I told mom, I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call them and I'm going to show them, you know, because I looked them up when they're on Amazon and I found one and I was going to FaceTime them. And say, okay, now for the bathroom situation, this is what you guys are going to get on the back porch, right? They didn't like that idea very well.
Could always do what I've seen people when they go camping, they'll take a 5-gallon bucket and put a
toilet seat on
one of those noodles around the rim of it. And then you can even hang the toilet paper on the handle of the bucket. I would never use it, but that's a clever idea.
No, couldn't wash your hands like a
no. Yeah, they're both no, I would rather go out behind the garage and do my business than sit on one of those things. And I'm like, I'm old. I can't hover like that to go pee.
As long as it ain't on your neighbor's property.
Yeah, that's
you don't have to get bit by a snake out there.
You never know.
Couldn't do that.
Someone come over and see Kim's promised land driving by. Right.
So why don't we tell our friend listening what change we're doing to the show. Kim, what'd you tell him, producer?
We're all nude right now, guys. I'm just in a sheer pair of
panties.
I'm
so glad I don't have my glasses on anymore.
My legs are crossed. You're
Kim,
all right?
Kim, why don't you explain it to our friend listening? Because you are the producer and you
why
can
me?
Explain. Because you're the producer. What else are you doing?
Fine. I'll do it.
Go ahead.
I'll
explain it away.
So we're going to do things a little bit different.
Yes.
We're going to, instead of having like an hour and 30 to 45 minute, whatever, episodes like we usually do once a week.
She says with disdain in her voice.
With two mysteries.
Yeah, with two mysteries in it. We're going to do two episodes in the same week with one mystery in it. So there'll be shorter episodes, but you'll get them twice a week instead of once a week.
There we go. And there'll be one big unmasked episode.
Yep, with both of the mysteries.
And we'll switch places with whose mystery is. Yeah. So you'll hear two of us every week.
Yeah. And so you should get one on Tuesday and Thursdays. That's our plan. Mm-hmm. So you have 2 days to look forward to hearing our voices.
Yay. Did we decide we were going to do unmasked on Thursday also?
Or so that way it's for the second episode. But then, of course, we'll just release them with that second episode.
So this is the way this is going to work because I know how we get when we start talking. We have a really hard time.
We're going to be set in a little
time.
We're
already 30 minutes into this.
Are we? How long are we in?
13.
Okay. Well, not that bad.
So I told him, I said, I cannot do 2-hour and 45-minute videos every week. I have enough things that I have to do. I can't put another one in there. And so I'm going to buy us a little timer. That way we can watch it and try to keep it 45 minutes somewhere in that area.
There you go. Well, what you really need the timer for, I think, is just so that we know how long we can do our back and forth talking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because then we just get into our mystery and that part is more streamlined.
Yeah, that's true.
But the timer is just really, we just need to know how long we've been talking for.
You wind us up and we go for 45 minutes.
Are you kidding? We've went almost an hour once.
Sometimes I forget. I'm like, oh yeah, we're recording, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we go ahead and get into our Texas trip? Because I feel like there's a lot to talk about. And some of it we're going to save for Unmasked. We're going to save... We stopped in a town where they have a bunch of huge things. We're going to talk about that in the Unmasked episode.
Oh, I did get the prize that the lady had won for that on Patreon. I did send it. I sent it with her shirt. She had ordered a shirt.
Good. And then we're also going to talk about some of the places that we ate at and the food that we ate at, that will all be in the Unmasked episode.
Okay.
So we're going to save those topics for Unmasked, but let's talk about our Texas trip. So I'm allowed now to share why we decided to go to Texas in the first place. So I got this super secretive email. And if you can't like think of a more secretive email to receive, I get this invitation saying, hey, we are inviting you to Othram Labs in Texas. It's in a suburb of Houston, Texas. I'm very familiar with Othram Labs. It's a forensic DNA lab. It's the leading genetics DNA lab. They've solved a lot of cold cases. They've identified a lot of Jane Doe victims. So, I mean, I am very familiar with this place. They're like, we are inviting a select group of people, not very many people. We are inviting you to this two-day event. Let us know if you can make it. Can you make it? And I was just like, oh my God. And one of the stipulations was I was not allowed to tell anyone. So I was like, hey, Kim, this is what I got.
Don't tell anyone. Screenshot.
Boom. Okay. So then Kim and I were like, oh, well, we definitely need to go because, I mean, that's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to go see a forensics lab like that.
And not only that. But there was a president not far from there.
Yeah. And if you've been listening for a long time, you know that Kim and I are on a mission to go see all the dead presidents. Mm-hmm.
They're real fun at parties, guys.
So fun. So fun. So fun. In fact, the moment that I screenshotted it, I sent the screenshot to Kim. Kim responds and goes, oh my God, there's a president nearby. Like she has
an hour and a half away.
She has it memorized of where all these presidents are. You don't even lie to these people.
I know the states that they're in, yeah. But I usually have to look it up to see where.
So you didn't
where.
Know that there was one by Houston?
I knew there was one in Texas. And
there's
actually
two in
we
Texas.
Had, yes, there's two in Texas. And actually, I think we've talked about going to Texas before. So I knew that one
okay.
was closed.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. So see, I'm not lying. Look, she's trying.
Not all of them.
She's
no.
trying to make it seem like she's not as creepy as it is. But anyway.
There is a couple that I do know where they are.
Exactly. So anyway, so we're like, okay, two birds, one stone. We'll get a dead president and we'll go to this lab. Perfect. So then we're like, well, we'll drive that way because the president was, what was it, an hour and a half away? So we'll hit that. We'll hit this lab. Bada bing, bada boom. So we're going to drive the mystery machine down. Well, I don't know if you know this. So a lot of people ask me, and I'm sure people listening, if you do not own a Tesla, your question is probably, oh my God, if you drive a Tesla to Texas from Indiana, how do you know where to stop and charge? Well, all I have to do is put in the location that I'm going to, and it automatically puts in where I need to stop and charge.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and if the charger is broken or if there's too many people there, it automatically reroutes. So there's literally, like, I seriously have no brain work in this process.
And the car, that's nothing new.
And the car drives itself, so Kim and I are just chilling out.
Lollygagging.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're just chatting away about our mysteries, what we're talking about, all this stuff. So anyway, so we had a jolly old time driving, mm-hmm. I thought. It was fun. Yeah. Kim was crocheting. Mm-hmm. I got some good photos.
Yep, I almost have it. At the length that I want it.
Yeah. So
now she needs the girth. She craves the girth.
Why don't you talk about what you're talking about, Kim? Because that was the dirtiest thing I've ever heard you say today.
I guess that's probably right because we did post pictures, but they were on Patreon.
On Patreon.
So
and the people listening are not all Patreon followers.
No, they're not.
They don't love us.
So I decided. I'm
trying to guilt them.
Some people don't care, Josh.
So I decided that I was going to, I'm a huge crocheter, so I decided I was going
and
to.
And you crochet a lot.
You're not that
when,
big,
when
Kim.
We go on trips.
Yes, anytime we're in the car, I'm always crocheting.
Yeah, you make blankets on trips.
Yes, it helps the time go by. You know, I still look at things that's going around, but it
she
just helps the time go by.
Anxiety watching the cars
No, I do get anxiety with other people driving.
I do too, especially on the highway.
So it keeps me calm and to where I don't kill Shane while he's driving is the main purpose.
And
of
also
doing that.
For either crime or history stories, you also are crocheting even during the interviews sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah, I have.
So like, it's always an interesting thing because like, she'll make a blanket and it's just like a funny, like, oh my gosh, you just made a full blanket during this trip of us going around for this history story or actually, this crime story.
I brought it today because I thought, oh, hey, we're not on video. I'll sit here and crochet while we're doing it. And then I didn't, I got it out, but then I didn't start doing it. So anyway, I decided to make a mystery ink themed blanket so that we can give it away as a prize when we have our next live event for Patreons.
And it looks really nice.
It's really cool. It is. I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun to make.
It's big too.
Yeah, it has gotten a lot bigger than what I expected it to be.
That's always a good thing.
So I think it's kind of like a chevron pattern.
Yeah.
But it's blue and green.
It's the colors of Mystery Ink.
Yep, the Mystery Ink colors. And then it's going to have flowers on it that's going to be like a bright orange.
Yeah.
Groovy.
It's really fun. Yeah. So Kim was making the blanket on our trip. But one of the things about charging is that sometimes it routes you to these like really rural areas. It brings you to the best chargers for the quickest trip. And in Texas, I don't know what it is about Texas, but it routed us to Houston in very rural areas.
Oh, God.
So we went off the interstate and we were on like these country roads.
They weren't country. I think of them as a highway, is like our highways. But the speed limit on these things was 75.
You could go as fast as you like. Yeah, 75 out in the country.
Like on a 32.
Two lane highway.
Yeah, but out in the middle of nowhere. We probably didn't have cell phone service for most of the time.
Yeah, there was a lot of times that we didn't.
We were going to Texas. Yeah, it was very rural.
And it was a good thing.
Sorry to our new Patreon from Texas. I almost put that on there. Sorry about talking smack about your state on your postcard.
It was a good thing that I had my crochet with me because I did okay as long as it was light out. But once it starts getting dark, I don't see well at night anyway. I have a book light that I'll clip onto me so I can still see to crochet.
She was doing that during one of the night drives. It fell. It fell and it went down by her feet.
I might have cussed a little bit.
She was like, because there was no way she could get it.
Yeah.
And it was just a light down there by her feet.
Mm-hmm. It was wilder so over here.
But yeah, it was a good thing that I had it because I could feel my anxiety getting worse and worse as the night wore on, the longer that it was dark. Because I just don't see well at night anyway. Mm-hmm. And then being on a two-lane road, you're going 75 mile an hour. Ooh. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know.
You know what it reminded me of, Josh? Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. Like these little small little towns.
That's the scariest movie. I know.
Me too. And you remember when we were watching it and someone shot
the
freaking
front door
of our house? Josh and I were home alone. Watching Texas Chainsaw, which I do not like scary movies. I don't know why we were watching it. We were watching it and someone shot the front door. Like we had like a storm door window and it's glass. Someone shoots it out while we're watching this.
Drove by.
Scariest thing I've ever witnessed in my life.
Completely shattered.
I don't know how I'm still surviving right now.
Have I ever told
you? I died in that moment.
Have I ever told you about the time that somebody shot through our house?
No.
Originally, we had just a single wide trailer where my old house is at now. It was a double wide.
Not
rich at all. Not rich at all. And so we had a single wide
trailer. And more rural.
We had to go outside to the porta potty. Grandma and Papa made our own clothes.
Snakes in the house.
So we had this was before I ever had kids. So we had just a single wide trailer and I was at home one day. It was like a snow day. I couldn't go to work because we had a really bad snow. Well, my ex-husband had left to try to go to work. And I was laying on the couch asleep. And I wake up by hearing some odd noise. I couldn't figure out what it was. Somebody behind our house was out shooting at the frozen ground.
Oh my God.
It ricocheted and went straight through one wall and lodged itself in the other about a foot from my head.
I would have skinned them alive.
When I was young, I was walking with my grandma. We were getting ready to walk across the street to the barn.
When the neighbor?
Yeah. And we had this really weird neighbor who was real mean.
His name was Angel of all things.
He shot towards us and the bullet grazed my head.
There were like metal racks and it like ricocheted off of them.
And it grazed my head. My grandma immediately like, grabbed me and ran towards the house.
Wow.
It was so scary. Like, I mean, I felt it. I thought I got shot. My grandma thought I got shot in the head.
I thought grandpa was going to murder that. He went over there and they got into it.
Yeah. The police arrived and everything. I mean, it was a big deal. They found the bullet and everything.
Just as soon as I figured out what had happened, I immediately just busted into tears. And once my ex-husband got to work, I called him and told him what had happened, and he turned around, came right back home, and went and had a nice little chat with those neighbors.
I would have shoved that gun so far up his urethra. Mm-hmm.
What idiot shoots at a frozen ground?
It's like those people that shoot up in the sky at New Year's and 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
Those come down.
Yeah, those have to come down.
Well, when we got to Othram Labs near Houston, we were able to figure out some of the other podcasters that were there. Now, did you recognize any of them?
Him? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who did you recognize?
Generation
Y, Justin and Aaron.
And
you recognize Esther.
Esther, yes.
From Once Upon a Crime.
Once Upon a Crime. I used to listen to her all the time when we worked in hell.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
She's the one with the black hair and the tattoos.
Yes.
Okay, I recognize her.
Yeah. That's she has tattoos on her.
Oh,
leg.
I didn't know that.
Oh, there's one lady that had tattoos on her arm. I recognize her, but that one was not Esther.
No, that one wasn't Esther. That's not Esther. So there's also some friends of mine who were there was Moms and Mysteries, who used to be called Moms and Murder. They were there. And there were a couple other podcasters there that was my really first time interacting and meeting them. So that was really cool. But it wasn't a big group of us. So that it was really fun just meeting new people. And
I was kind of sad after the first event when you guys had your little social gathering thing. Mm-hmm. I was kind of sad I didn't go.
Yeah, you should have. It was fun.
I mean, I had so much work that I needed to do. I had to continue to work.
After traveling.
Yeah, after traveling. That's the only bad thing about traveling like that is because you can't really do it in the car, you know. I have to have Wi-Fi.
Right.
So we'd travel all day. And then just as soon as we get to a hotel, we're opening up our computers and starting to work.
And we were posting photos on Patreon during each part.
I saw you were trying the snacks.
Yeah. So we were posting each time we were doing something. We were trying to post updates on Patreon, which was real fun.
It is fun.
And I think people liked it. And, you know, it allowed them to kind of travel with us. So we'll have to do that more often. But one of the things that really sucked about traveling, and I feel like we need a public service announcement about this, is that some hotel Wi-Fis
suck.
Are unreliable. Like, what world
horrible.
Are they? It is 2024.
Right. It's
How
horrible.
Do you not have, like, their definition of high-speed internet?
Mm-hmm.
If I cannot download files or upload files, you are not, that's not high-speed internet. So, like, we would get to a Holiday Inn and couldn't work. Couldn't upload files. So like one of our videos, we couldn't even work on until we got home.
Says it takes 8 hours to download.
Yeah.
Well, and most people that travel at hotels are there for business.
Yeah. And we got our work. So like we would get to one hotel and we're like, well, we can't do anything because this Wi-Fi is too slow. So when we actually got to the event, we've realized that some Marriott hotels, the Marriott brand hotels, have better Wi-Fi than the brand, like the IHG hotels for some reason. So that one was a Marriott-owned hotel. So when we got to that hotel, we're like, the internet's a little bit faster. We can actually do some work. Yeah, so that's the reason why she didn't go to that little meet and greet thing.
Yeah, so I had work to do, but I was kind of sad not to.
Kim had IBS issues.
No, it is not. It is not.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right. Well, why don't we get into my mystery for today?
Yeah, you were teasing yesterday saying you're so excited.
Yes.
Sitting there trying
well,
to...
I randomly came across this mystery, and I'm going to give a little shout out to one of our good friends and listeners, Michelle. Mm-hmm. Michelle lives in Washington State, and this is where this mystery comes from.
Ooh, thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, well, she didn't give this mystery to us, but I thought of her while I was working on this mystery because it's not that far from her.
Hey, girl. Hey.
And I bet that she has heard of it. And if she hasn't,
she probably has.
Then she's going to have to go look for it because it's not going to be far from her.
Do some recon for us.
Yes. Well, it's kind of funny because this could be the deepest hole ever known.
I am sitting right here. How dare you tell me?
If it couldn't get any weirder. If it couldn't get any weirder, Joshua Waters.
Is it called Josh's Hole?
It's called Mel Waters' Hole. What are the chances? With one T, one T
the
and
way
Waters.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah. There are people in our family, guys, who have two T's. They don't know how to spell Waters.
We don't claim them.
Right. Okay. So this whole mystery starts when Mel Waters calls into an AM radio show. It was called Coast to Coast Radio Show. It was an AM show. And this happened on February 21st, 1997. So Josh would have been 10 years old at that time.
You son of a biscuit-eating bulldog. 10. If it was before September, I was 6. A baby. An infant.
A baby.
Fresh skinned infant. You see how fast I stopped myself from cussing there?
Right. Son of a bitch. All right. So this radio show was hosted by a man named Art Bell. And this program, this AM show, was known for exploring topics that were related to the paranormal, to unexplained phenomena, and to conspiracy theories. So basically, if Mystery Inc. was an AM radio show at the time, which kind of like is kind of cool because in our bunker here, our new recording bunker, we have an old radio that's next to us. So in our next video, you'll see it.
We probably have more listeners than that AM radio station. All 10 of their listeners.
All right. Well, Mel Waters calls in and he said that he has what seems to be a bottomless hole on his property.
Sir, this ain't that kind of call-in hotline.
You need to stop calling us. And again, this was in Washington State, he says. And he goes on to explain that this is on the eastern side of the state near Ellensburg in Kittitas County. I think it's how it's pronounced. And if you're in Washington,
Michelle, let us know if it's right.
She's probably like, no, dumbass.
Right. Now, this is southeast of Seattle. It's about 45 minutes out of Seattle. Now, I did an abnormal amount of Google Maps stalking of this area. And my best guess is if you look up Ellensburg on Google Maps, and then you look toward the west, toward Mount Rainier, which is just right there. Like Mount Rainier is right there. And then off just a little bit slightly more to the west, kind of southwest, you'll see Mount St. Helens. It's just right beyond that. And that area is rather mountainous out there. Now, he explains on this show, and I'm telling you what, I listened to this audio, and over all the phone calls, there's like 4 phone calls. We're talking about 3 or 4 hours of audio. Wow. Yeah, so I was doing stuff, like unpacking some of our stuff, and working on the office and doing a bunch of stuff. But I listened to all of it.
I've heard of this before, but not like details.
Oh, we're going to get into the details. So the hole is supposed to be about 9 feet wide. The side of the walls are supposed to be stone, he says. And the stone goes down 15 feet, and then it gets to soil, and then it goes to rocks. Now, above ground, he says there's a 3.5-foot retaining wall. And then on top of that, there's a steel door that he's placed on it because he was afraid that people would just randomly fall into it if they randomly come onto his property. Now, he says during all this audio, I was trying to pick up as much information as I could about Mel. He said that he used to be a professional shark fisherman, so he decided that he wanted to figure out how deep this hole is. So he decided to put a 1 pound triangular weight on the bottom of a line that he would use for shark fishing. And he started just lowering that down into the hole. And he said he continued to let off a line and he used the entire line. So he put on more line.
Jesus.
And to the date of when he made that phone call, he had used 80,000 feet of line.
Damn.
And he said he had still not reached the bottom, that it was still a loose line.
Mm.
Yeah. So 80,000 feet is what he was saying. So he said his first set of line, which was 4,500 feet, he had put down a roll of lifesavers at the very end of the line. And then he reeled it all back in, and he said that the lifesavers weren't bothered. They were just normal. So that made him believe that it wasn't being dropped down into water, that mm-hmm. so far that 4,500 feet wasn't water down there. So he further explains during these phone calls that the man he purchased the property from knew about the hole, had mentioned it to him, and he said that the people around him also knew about the hole, and the previous property's owner, so the guy before that guy, also knew about it. So Mel also said that he owned the property for 4 years at that time, and the prior owner had owned it for 40 years. He also said they do not have electricity on the property, and you can't get phone service out there. Now, while I was doing my Google map search, when I was looking just west of that town, there are homes out there that you can tell there is no electrical lines that are running out towards there. So there are very rural buildings, homes out there. So I do believe that there are like homes like that. He does mention that his wife works for the local university, and they have mentioned to the university about this hole, and they've invited them to come do testing because they thought, oh my gosh, like why would this hole be so deep? Like that seems like the university would be interested.
I couldn't imagine if this was me. Hi, would you guys like to come play with my hole?
Not again, Josh. We're not falling for it again. Now, all the neighbors, he said, we used to bring trash out to this hole and would just toss it in, you know, throw it in. I know. And I totally would believe that. If there's this hole, people be like, oh, I can just get rid of batteries and junk.
Throw my car oil.
Yeah. People just throw it like out in country. Like people just throw away whatever and burn it, you know. So, yeah, I totally believe that. Now, one legend that Mel Waters explained during his first phone call was a little strange. He shared that one neighbor, now I'm going to tell you this, when he explains the story, he kind of explains it in a way that he's like, now this story was shared to me, which made me feel like the previous owner kind of shared it, and Mel didn't fully believe it, but he was just sharing what was told to him. So this story, Mel says, that one neighbor tossed his dead dog into the hole, and the next day, that dog showed up alive.
No.
To that guy's front door.
Nope.
Now, Mel also said one thing that he's noticed is that dogs, because I guess Mel has dogs, his dogs will not go anywhere near that hole, which I kind of believe, like, if there's a really deep hole, like, animals probably are aware of how deep that hole is, and they're like, no, I'm not going anywhere near that.
Smarter than humans. I ain't going near that. That's deep.
Right. That sounds dangerous, not doing it. Now, Mel did question during his first phone call if this hole could be related to Native Americans, because this land was once owned by Native Americans. This was once Native American land.
It all was.
Right? Mel also said that he put in his will that when he dies, he wanted to be tossed into this hole. Which I was like, well, that is so bizarre. Right. I remember, like, I was cleaning up stuff, and I thought, oh, my gosh. Like, first off, okay, like, if you did that, whatever. But why would you tell people that?
Well, there's other people's trash in there. Just throw me down with the tires.
Yeah, I don't know where it goes. Throw me in.
God.
I'd like to see somebody throw you in.
That is not very nice, Kim. That hurts my feelings. If I had feelings, that would have hurt them.
Feelings, what's that?
Right. All right. Well, one thing that Art asked Mel is if he's like, hey, Mel, are you being truthful about this or are you fabricating all this? Like, just lay it out. And Mel said, no, hey, I'm being honest about this. This hole is real. This is what I'm experiencing. I wouldn't make this up. I know people are going to try to tear this apart, so I'm not here to fabricate something. Now, I went and looked, and I wanted to compare, like, how deep is 80,000 feet? So the deepest hole that we know about that's naturally deep is the Mariana Trench, which is in the ocean. Now, that is 36,000 feet. So that would be about half, you know, less than half of 80,000 feet, and that's in the ocean. So another thing to keep in mind was at the time of that phone call, the deepest that any mining could happen, like just the deepest with technology that mining could go, would be 1,600 feet. So you're talking about 80,000 times the difference of 1,600 to 80,000 feet. Okay, so it starts getting weird. So that's the first phone call. That's the radio show. So after that radio show, Mel is driving out to his home. And he says that he starts going out to his house and there are military personnel blocking, like they have a blockade up. And they're blocking his access to his house. So he approaches them and he's like, hey, what's going on? And they explain, hey, sorry, there's been a plane crash further ahead where we can't let anyone pass. And he's like, well, that's my property's down this road. I need access. Like, that's where I live. And he's like, I'm sorry, you can't pass.
Bullshit.
Right. Well, right. So Mel figures out after a while, like, there's no news report. No one's reporting a plane going down. So then he gets this phone call from a realtor. And the realtor is like, hey, I have some really good news. I have a really large amount of money that someone is trying to buy your home for, your property for. And Mel's like, I mean, I didn't list my property for sale. And the realtor's like, well, you don't always have to do that. If someone wants to buy your property, they just go to a realtor and the realtor will contact you. And Mel's like, well, I'm not interested in selling my property. And the realtor's like, well, here's the amount of money. It's substantial. They really would like your property. And so I guess it was a lot of money. So Mel ends up having another conversation with Art during another radio show a few days later. And he tells him what has happened. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting a large offer for a large amount of money. I can't access my property anyway. So it kind of seemed like Mel felt forced to take this buyout. Mm-hmm. So he kind of explains that he feels like he has to do that anyway because he can't access his property anyway. One of the things that he does share is before the military got to his property, Mel did figure out how to weigh the line to see how much weight was on the line because, it, you know, 80,000 feet of line would probably weigh a lot and you have 1 pound of weight at the bottom. And he said that he used a fisherman's scale to figure out how much that line was weighing. And he said it weighed between 17 to 18 pounds.
Good Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is a lot of line.
I know.
I looked it up. It was about over 15 miles deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine. All right. So at a later time, he ends up selling that property shortly after that phone call to those people who offered him that generous amount of money. And then it kind of gets a little weirder. So then he ends up relocating to Australia. Huh. That was a part of the deal. Like, hey, we are going to give you this huge amount of money. A part of the deal is you have to relocate to Australia. This is what Mel says. Now, people start looking into this whole hole, you know, because, of course, if you call into this show, people want to know where this hole is, right. You know.
Why Australia?
Yeah. And why have you moved to Australia? And one of the things that people have realized over this period of time is no one could find a record of someone named Mel Waters having a property in that area. So that's one big question mark, is why is there no property records of someone named Mel Waters? And also, no one has been able to locate where this hole could be. Like, there's been no official location found of this hole. So that's a big question mark too. Now, there are reports of people saying that they have seen the hole and they know where the hole is. And I will talk about one person specifically who I know the name, I know all those details, I know the whole story. I'm going to talk about that person in the Unmasked episode. But before I end my mystery, I'm also going to share that geologists say that it would be impossible for such a hole to exist in that area. Now, you have to keep in mind, 80,000 feet, you're talking about at the deepest length of the Earth's mantle, you're probably looking at like halfway down to the Earth's mantle. At some points, you could be almost to the bottom of the Earth's mantle. So we're talking about a really, really deep hole.
Yeah, the crust is only like so many miles thick.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about a really deep hole. A really deep hole.
I am right here.
right. I just thought it was hilarious when I found this. I was like, oh my God, what are the chances that this person's last name is Waters?
It's probably a fake name he gave.
It could be a common last name. But, I mean, you also have to think, if the government did find this hole and they realized that, hey, this is an unsafe hole, we need to make sure that no one is aware of it because it poses a threat, a national security threat, which it could. Like, you don't want other countries to know about this hole that if they drop a bomb on, it could destroy the western states. I mean,
that could cause like a volcanic eruption.
Easily. I mean, there are volcanoes over there. Mount St. Helens is just right there. Right. So, I mean, it could be a big national security threat. I fully believe that.
Well, it could be gas down there, too.
Yeah. So, if you get into that realm of belief that, okay, if the hole is real and that whole thing is real, the government would come in and say, oh, this is a huge national security threat. Let's take care of this man and make sure that he doesn't share that story. But then he's like, well, I don't want people to think that I'm just a liar because, you know, my integrity, blah, 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 blah. But then the government is like, well, let's put him in witness protection or something. And then they erase his name from the property.
Send him to Australia.
Right. So I can kind of see like those type of programs where they do erase a person's name from that property record. So you also cannot find where Mel lived. So you don't find that national security threat. So I do see an instance in, you know, one avenue of how this could be thought of. Okay, maybe this hole does exist. But in the Unmasked episode, we're going to get into a little bit more. Yeah, so...
Interesting.
Yeah. Makes, I thought it was very interesting.
You guys have never seen the movie The Descent, have you?
No. Mm-mm.
It's about these people who go down in a cave and there ends up being these mutated humanoid creatures down there that kill them, and that's all I've been able to think about. Like, ain't no way in hell I'd be able to sleep in a house, especially no electricity or phone line to call out on.
That's funny.
Them critters coming up, bringing my dog back.
Mm. All right, so to end the episode, because if it's my mystery, I will do my own little ending segment. So Josh, for his mystery, he'll have your bless your heart. So I decided, for my little thing, I will create something after a saying that our grandma used to have.
Lord help us.
She used to say this saying a lot. And so I found a little thing I wanted to create. And I'm calling this segment, Well Shit Far. And this will consist of odd or funny news that I can find. So if you have odd or funny news, send that over. I would appreciate it. Well Shit Far. Okay, so I found this story, and this woman's father died, which, you know, is real sad, but the story isn't as sad. So her father dies, and she's going out and cleaning all his belongings out of his house. And we're talking about a small town called Knowlton, I think is how it's pronounced, and this is in Canada. It's just east of Montreal, just over the Vermont border. Well, she's going through all of his things and she's opening up a toolbox, you know, just going through things, opening up a toolbox. And then she sees a grenade. Well, she starts to get worried and she thinks, oh my God. Or as our grandma would say, shit far. This isn't normal. So she calls the police. And eventually the Canadian armed forces show up and they tell her, ma'am, this is a live grenade.
Jesus.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And I would go as far as to say my grandma would say, well, shit far and save the matches.
Yeah.
Now, two army officers show up and they bring an artillery case to haul this sucker away. And they say they've never come across this type of scenario. They've come across scenarios where people have antique ones, but they're not live. Yeah. And this is the first time they've ever come across a live one. But can you just imagine?
Canada, not America.
I know.
Can you imagine I could so see your grandma having one of those.
Oh, I know. Me too. When I was reading the story, I was like, I'm surprised we didn't find one, actually.
I know.
Just in case if she couldn't get to the machete or a number of knives, she would throw that pin out.
We're both going.
You're not getting my coin set on my BVDs.
Or my virtue.
But I do have some photos I dug up of this.
Oh,
so
fun.
We will put them on our Patreon along with this segment. So
I can't wait to see a picture of your big hole. I'm sitting on that one.
Lord.
Said it was 9 feet and calloused. Oh, and stone. Stone.
Stone. Stone just. All right. Well, that's all I got. And in 2 days, you have to look forward to Josh's episode along with our Unmasked, where you're going to get all of our extra tidbits of my mystery. So don't forget to follow us on all of the things. We got the Instagram. We have the
Patreon.
Facebook.
Join us on Patreon.
We have our Patreon because we have Unmasked. And
I will
handwrite
you a postcard and send it to you.
Yes, he does.
Join.
You may or may not be able to read it. But it will arrive at your house because Kim's not sending
it
to her daughter.
That's right. I won't be sending it to my daughter, so.
My writing is the straightest thing about me.
Yes, right? And you can also go to our website where we have wonderful photos of ourselves. It's a wonderful site. And we have t-shirts. And we also have other wonderful items. We have Josh's little dicks. He also has other rocks. I mean, you don't call them rocks,
crystals.
Dude.
Vibrating crystals.
Vibrating crystals.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
All right, guys. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.